Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters, meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360. I'm stoked because we got Keegan Mattaelli. I said that correctly, my man? He's got a lot of things he's doing. And so if you're an entrepreneur listening to this, I think this would be a great podcast for you just because not only did Keegan learn and strategize from building wealth, he also turned it into multiple businesses, successful businesses as well. So a lot of people can say they're, you know, are serial entrepreneurs, but in his case, he really is very successful in I think the number one problem Keegan has in his businesses is that he grows way too fast sometimes, as far as like he has a building and it's filled with employees and it's done, and so he's got to scale up quicker than he'd like. So it's kind of fun to see that. It's a good problem to have, but I wanted to talk about all the other good things you do too, from, you know, getting your I would say not only portfolio and wealth from real estate, but just in from your businesses. So thanks, man. I love that you're on, dude.
Well, dude, that was a hell of an intro, so thank you.
From the heart. So tell us a little bit about your story, like how everything transpired. And, you know, you do a lot in real estate. You work in the luxury car business as well. And you also have a foundation that helps. Tell us a little bit more about who it helps. And it's been awesome. You do a gala every year. We've attended that. And it was really, really fun to see. And
you again for the support.
Yeah, it was great. So let's just dive in and start from the story of how you got into real estate and your other stuff.
Okay, so real estate. The way it started, I actually started off investing in real estate first. I didn't have a license. So it was back in 2000. Well, I bought my first house in 2016. So I bought my first house and then had a realtor for that. Bought a couple more properties after that using a realtor. I was studying at BYU, got my degree, and then I went into software, like software sales.
Nice.
And the whole time, even like, I had a great career, good job. Even the whole time I was there, I knew that I wanted to end up in real estate more full time, but I was just too scared to take the leap. In 2020, beginning of 2020, started working on my license with the intention to quit software and then go into just dive into real estate. Just try and make something happen. When I had finished my course or the Stringham Schools or whatever, I got laid off from my job. All the testing centers were closed. Yeah. This is in 2020. This is March 9th, 2020.
Wow. Right when the whole world stopped.
It's exactly what happened. And I remember it because my birthday is March 16th. And so it was a week before my birthday, I got laid off. And then I was like, okay, well, I'll just go finish my license and I can get started. And then between Utah and Idaho, all the testing centers were closed until further notice.
Yeah.
So we had just sold one of our properties because we were building a home in Draper. And so we were living in my aunt's basement and I just was jobless.
Trying to get into this house.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that part of the conversation you and I can talk about off record.
Yeah.
But yeah, so eventually did get my license. At that time when I was trying to figure out work stuff, I started a window cleaning company just to like, you know, make ends meet or whatever. And then we were able to close on our home that summer, which was awesome. And then I worked with, well, I did, so let's see, I think I got fully licensed in August, if I remember right. I did like 5 transactions that year. And then I started working at Edge Homes, who's a builder in Utah. The January 2021 is like when I officially started selling for them. Started like December with training and everything, but then left Edge in 2023. It was almost exactly 2 years ago. That's crazy.
Time flies.
Yeah, 2 years ago. That's insane.
It really does.
Yeah. Left, went to a different brokerage. Now I own Serve with Jeff Daniels, who, as you know, he's the man. Iron Pine Storage. That's the luxury car thing. The Kaloa Foundation is the nonprofit, which I'll talk about in a minute. And then the conglomerate, which is the media company.
Ooh, that's the one.
That's the one, baby. The... Matches your colors, too.
Yes. You know how much we love purple here. Purple everything. So, I mean, that's a wild... It's wild to see how much 5 years can do to someone. Because, you know, from 2020 to 2025, you bought a lot in properties. Mm-hmm. So you have a great portfolio there. Not only have you worked with your portfolio in real estate, but real estate propelled you in your business to now, you know, you work with a lot of high net worth individuals, luxury. Tell us a little bit about how that works as far as just, I feel like you have, it's just a totally different level that you're on when you're working with people that, when they have a lot of money, it's not just about the money. It's about, there's just so much going on as far as availability. Sometimes you're not talking to the client directly. You're talking to maybe their team. Tell us a little bit how that works and kind of how you've been able to find success in that sector.
So it's really interesting because when working with more higher net worth individuals, it can be super intimidating. At least for me in the beginning, it was, because it's like, if I mess up, this person could put me in jail. Like, they have all the money, or they can hire someone to kill me, or like something like that, you know? And I think the biggest takeaway truly is they're still human. They're normal individuals, just like you and I. And as weird as it might sound, I'm trying to figure out how to explain this. Cause yeah, as weird as it might sound, they are generally, in my experience, way more down to earth than you would ever expect. And most of the time, I have noticed they are just looking for authentic human connection. And so one thing I notice with like, there's some realtors here, and not saying that this is wrong, because if it works for them, great. But there's like a persona that I've noticed with agents that they feel they have to uphold with working on a luxury level, right? When you're in the millions or whatever, it's like, this person wants this type of professionalism, and maybe some people do, right? Like, that's totally possible. But these people that I've been working with, I just focus on the relationship and them, and just understanding what's important to you. What do you want in a realtor? Like, and if they want that very strict, polished type person, oftentimes I will tell them, I'm probably not the best fit for you, but I have someone I could suggest for that. But it's cool because usually up front, I've noticed that these types can be a little bit more off-putting. They're a little bit maybe standoffish.
Yeah.
But as I've come to be around them more and more, it's because they oftentimes have been in situations where they've been taken advantage of. And so they're just keeping up their guard.
Yeah. They have a lot more at-bats in big transactions or multiple transactions in different areas of their life.
Totally.
And they see that and they can sniff it out pretty quickly. So I think with you, the authentic piece where you're just you,
mm-hmm.
and it's refreshing to a lot of them. So I think that's great. Tell me how did that, you're someone that I like a lot in the sense that if you're really interested in something, you're going to figure out a way to turn that into your work. And so you're very interested in cars.
Yeah.
And now you have this garage with these 300, maybe half a million plus cars. It might be $1 million cars in there, right?
Yeah.
How did that even happen? How did that transpire? Tell us a little bit. How do you even get that up and running if that's something that you want to do if you're a listener here?
Yeah, so that I have always been interested or had a passion for motors. So ever since I was a kid, flipping dirt bikes, four-wheelers, golf carts, cars, just like fixing them up, selling them for profit. My business partner on Iron Pine, his name's Jackson, really good friend from, we met when we were 11, mm-hmm. and we used to ride dirt bikes together. We used to do those kind of things together. Excuse me. So life goes on. Like, we went through high school and stuff together, both go to college, get married, and then we reconnect. Both of us had cars that we like to take to car meets. And so we just went to breakfast one time and that's how we reconnected. And then as we started hanging out more, I had heard of this concept of a luxury car storage that's really popular, like in California. And he had been doing a ton of research on it. Like, respective of each other, we hadn't talked about it. We were both just like, oh, this is like, I was more like, oh, this is interesting.
Yeah.
But he was like, I want to try and figure out how to make this work. He hadn't started a business before. And so when we started chatting about it, I'd done a few at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, hey, do you think we could do this? And as I started looking at numbers and running through things, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, we could definitely do this. Like, this is a great idea. So the way that we started is we decided to start on the smaller side. There's a couple of storage places here in Utah that are awesome. And they have these massive warehouses with the golf simulators and, you know, like a bar and all that stuff, which is super cool. We bootstrapped it. And so my thing was, hey, let's just start small. Let's make the numbers make sense. And then if we really want to build a big warehouse, we can go get investors or whatever, yeah, and kind of go that route. But I would much rather have a proof of concept, because if it works out, then it makes it that much easier to scale it, because we already have a model that's working. Plus, less space, less maintenance, less things can go wrong. Just, I felt like it was a more like tactful yeah, approach. And so, yeah, that is literally how it started. And so we just started going to car meets, just started networking like crazy. And it's pretty cool because through that networking, I've come to make some really good friends.
Yeah.
And funny enough, none of them store with us, but a lot of them have been a like voice for us in helping raise awareness, build our brand. And that in turn has brought people into our garage.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the networking alone, I feel like, has been really cool because, you know, you not only outside of your Iron Pine, you guys still crush your events. Like Serve has probably the coolest.
Malish, thank you.
I've seen ever. Like, I mean, even the theater event you had, people were getting like $300 prizes. Like, and there's like 15 prizes there. Like people were stoked. People were losing their minds. It was really cool to like have that. But then when you have it, Serve plus Iron Pine, these are the coolest events I've ever seen. They are thousands of people there, and they're very supportive, a great community, coolest, like everyone brings their cars, which is really cool, and it's showing off really cool network. So in this high level of, you know, I'd say wealthy people, what are some of the characteristics you've learned from these people, that networking that they have, that an entrepreneur could, you know, probably take, that you take from, that you've learned from, that, you know, someone could potentially learn on from listening to this?
That's a great question, and immediately the first word that came to my head was generosity. So, and I understand this isn't the case for everybody, but fortunately for me, years ago, I was on an internship in Paris for a software company. And when I would take like the Metro or the RER, they call it the RER over there, when I would take it to work, there was a book that I read called Give and Take by Adam Grant. Have you read that book?
Mm-mm.
Fantastic.
Give
and Take. Yeah. Top five business books for sure. But he's a behavioral psychologist, and he just goes about and he studies the wealthiest people on the planet and then finds those similar characteristics and what makes them so successful. And the number one thing is that in any business transaction, they would make sure that the person on the other end of the party would end up getting a better deal than they did, per se.
Yeah.
Now that there's like bounds to that as well, right? You can't just be constantly giving everything, but in a situation where they have a mentality of, you have your goals you're trying to hit, I'm going to help you hit those goals. In turn, it created like all the people around them wanted to reciprocate in the same way, because especially when like negotiating business deals, things like that, you're expecting the other side to not want to give you the best. But when you're communicating effectively and you're working well with the other side and like saying, hey, I'm trying to help you get to this point where I'm trying to help you get what you're looking for, or in partnerships, like understanding what the other side, like what your partner wants, and then doing your best to deliver on that. I don't remember the percentages because it's been a long time since I read that book, but it's crazy high that it gets reciprocated. But the key thing too is to not do it expecting them to do something back. Yeah. You're just doing it out of good faith or just like a good heart. Like, oh, like I would want someone to do this for me, so I'm going to do that. And that is the commonality I've known with the people that I've been networking with that are extremely successful. Easily 9 out of 10, if not 98 out of 100 of these individuals that I've met.
Wow, it's high.
It's very high. And I like to share that too, because there's like this stereotype around wealthy people that they hog their money, they're selfish, they're rude. Mm-hmm. And like I said, they exist. I've interacted with plenty of them. But the majority of them are not that way. And Iron Pine is a great example. A lot of these friends, like I said, they met, they're high net worth individuals. And every single time we're putting on something, they want to just come help. They don't want to be paid for anything. They want to support. They ask if like there's anything from their business or from their network that they can leverage to help boost what we're trying to do. And so that would be the biggest thing, is if someone's trying to go out and start something or they're trying to build, I would say figure out the strategic partnerships you could make, understand what the partner's goals are, and focus on helping them hit their goals. Because naturally, you won't hit your goals. You will well over exceed.
Yeah. So you're seeing it.
Well, like Iron Pine, for example, right? It's been, I think, at 5 months we broke even on it,
and it's just unbelievable. That is a great statistic, but it's because you've already ran multiple successful businesses in the past. You knew what the numbers hit, the crunch. But the fact that you can break even at five, I mean, that's unbelievable. But yeah, now it's flourishing, and it's just crazy how quickly the tides can turn with one idea.
It really is. And like, I think the cool part too is another tip I'll give for young entrepreneurs is if you start a business and it fails, I guarantee you when you look back, you will realize it was definitely not a failure. It was a lesson that needed to be learned, because every business that I've started, all of them except one were profitable. They all made money. The one that didn't, it's fine. That's my dragon in the closet, right? But even that one, there were things learned that when I started the next one, it was like, oh, I remember from this business, this was a similar situation. I chose path A and I had path B as the option.
I'll do that again.
I'm not going to choose path A again. I'm going to go with path B. And then you'll go down that route and then with the next business, and then you might hit a fork in the road again.
Yeah.
And you might make the wrong decision. I don't believe there's wrong or right. I think it's just experience. You're just learning on how to get better for the next one.
Yeah, I've seen a few in my life where even today I had a situation where I'm like, oh, I learned from a situation and I'm so glad that I learned that, because now I have better opportunities in the future because it fit a perfect box of this new opportunity for me because I had experience in a previous thing. Even though that didn't work out the way I wanted it to.
Sure.
But I learned so much from it that I'm more than confident that it'll work in this current situation. So, I mean, I love that. Another question I had, I got a ton for you, but we only got, you know, so much time. I was going to say, you're one of the very few, because, you know, a lot of people say, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. You really are master of many, dude. So, like,
you're too crowded.
How do people juggle? How do you juggle? You're very high level in multiple businesses. Like, you don't just do okay job in this business, do okay job in this business. I mean, you're like Gary Vee too. You're like, you're good in this business, you're good in this business, you're in good. How do you juggle all three or four of your businesses at a high level? What do you do?
First thing is an amazing support, which is my wife, who allows me to be gone a lot working on stuff. But I will say that has been a huge thing over the last year and a half I've been working on, is getting home by 5 o'clock. Like,
yeah.
Because, I mean, you get it, dude. When you're starting something, like, there are days, weeks, months where you have to grind and you're up at 6 or 7 and you go to bed at 11 or you don't sleep that night because you're stressed about finances or whatever.
I've seen it. You and I, we show it on our faces. We can tell. Like, 100%. You can tell when I'm that way, vice versa.
Yep. And so, yeah, there's a lot of shit you have to deal with. So I have a spouse who's phenomenal. And I say all the time, I literally don't think anyone else could deal with me, because one, my personality of just how I am. But then two, just all the things that I've got going on, and just being able for her to kind of, she just sits back and she just kind of trusts. And she's like we've had months where it's like, we're negative in the bank account or like I'm pulling from a HELOC or something to make payroll or whatever it is. And she's just kind of like, oh, you'll figure it out. Like, it always works out. And so to have that kind of support, that's the first thing. The second thing is really diving into and getting a good partner for whatever business you do. And so right now with all these things that I've got going on, I have incredible partners who, when I have a lot going on in one business, I can communication will be the third part. I'll get to that. But I can tell them like, hey, I'm struggling over here. I'm not going to be able to deliver on these things we talked about here in the timeline that I promised that I would deliver on. And then being able to give enough grace and go, hey, don't worry about it. Like, I can pick up the slack here, or let me know how I can help with this and stuff like that. So that's another huge part. But then, like I said, communication.
I love that you juggle it for them on the other. I've seen you do it for them when they are in that seat too.
Well, it goes back to what I was saying earlier, right? When you have a genuine desire for the other person to succeed. Naturally they should reciprocate.
And I've
seen that. And fortunately, I have partners now who learned that lesson before we became partners together. I've had partners that I have had to teach them that, or like we've learned together through it. But then, and then the other piece of that too is my wife tells me all the time I have ADHD. I legitimately don't think I have it, but if, or if I do have it, I think I'm high functioning. Like, that's what I tell. It's kind of like high functioning autism, but high functioning
with autism.
Because like I have, as I've like learned more about it and how it works, like the distractions and like the mind going all these different places at once, I have those same things. But the difference is when I compare them, like my wife and I, when we talk about our own life experience, I don't forget stuff. And so something could come in, they'd be like, cool, store that. Other something else comes in, address it or whatever. But yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not organized to anybody who's looking at what I do, but I kind of joke that I say I'm a very, like, I live in organized chaos.
Yes.
Like, I know where everything is. I'm very aware of what's going on, but sometimes I have to be like, yeah, yeah. So, like, if I'm looking, I'm thinking if my assistant needs to go find something, like, okay, if you go to my office, the third drawer, pull it out, there's a piece of paper, you got to take it up, and there's a little folder underneath it, open that one, it's the third page. Like, it's something like that. Like, I'm aware of where it's at.
Controlled chaos.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, if you just had organized folders and stuff, you could just tell people, oh, it's in this folder. I'm like, oh, I'm aware. I just don't have time to go organize it. So maybe I need to hire somebody to organize all my shit. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. You got good partners.
It's true.
That's the big
I really
thing.
Do.
Two things I've learned from you this year that's been actually life-changing for me. One was in your meetings, it's really cool. Everyone has to give up their phones.
Mm.
And I'm, you know me, like if I have to respond quickly, like it's something I just... And yeah, I had a little bit of that last week, actually. I had a little
okay.
bit of that.
That's okay.
But you've taught me that you're like, what is in your life? Like you said, you can set aside something really important for 1 hour and it's not going to be in the world. And that's been huge for me to be able to just really sit back, take a deep breath and be like, I can at least communicate, tell people. I tell people beforehand, hey, I'm going to be in a meeting at this time.
Great.
I will be available after this, I promise. And or stuff like that. Or you say like you set the boundaries. You've set really good boundaries with the right communication where it's like, hey, it's my anniversary tonight.
Yeah.
I'm not available from this time to this time, but I will be available the following morning or the following time. I never did that in my career, ever.
Really?
No. I just didn't have boundaries. And so like it would be like my anniversary and I'd probably make calls. I just was so scared of losing
totally.
Business.
Oh, dude, I get it. I totally
I've now implemented that. It's changed my life.
Give me one of these, bro.
Badass.
I didn't know
that's
that.
One. The that's second cool. one is you have a day a week that's like your day to get stuff done.
Yep.
And it's not conventional like this, you know, everyone's Sunday or whatever. Like you pick a day and it may not be the same every week, but like you have a day where it's like, I need to get my stuff done. It's not just to-dos, but sometimes it could be leisure, fun.
Yeah.
Maybe you get a massage that day. Maybe you like it's you time. I'm getting there. It's only once every other week, but it's been awesome. So, I mean, that's something I think as an entrepreneur that's helped me. And then the 5 o'clock thing, like get home at 5,
yeah.
Be there for your wife and kids and try your best. But that's awesome. I mean, we got to wrap up. I wanted to ask last thing about the Kaloa Foundation, right?
So, oh, yeah.
Right? So you have a foundation. Tell me a little bit about this foundation because all you do, you have all the success, but you still give back. So tell us a little bit about the foundation because I really enjoyed that gala. It was really cool.
Cool. Thank you. Yeah, the long story short of it is when I was younger, I didn't grow up with very much, and it was just a little bit of a rougher background. And for whatever reason, somehow God, the universe, whatever, decided to just kind of pluck me out, and I've done okay for myself. And it was in 2000, I think it was in 2021. It was like October-ish. I was driving in my truck. At the time, it was a Raptor, and I was just driving on some random road and a thought came in and it just said, what are you driving right now? 3 years previous, that was my dream truck. That was the truck that was like
on the mail.
Oh, yeah. It was like, man, if I could drive that, that will mean that I've made it in life. Like that's like, boom, there. And I realized I'm driving it and I just started bawling as I was driving because I was like, what the fuck, dude? It's like, I'm not that good of a person.
Yeah.
There are so many people that I grew up with that have better hearts, better intentions. And in this financial sense, yeah. I'm in the better position and it didn't feel fair. And I know that's not the healthiest way. Like I've done a lot of therapy and stuff. Like
there's gratitude there.
But yeah, there was 100% gratitude, right? And so then it turned into, it's like, man, I have all this excess. Why would I not share it? And so that turned into the Kaloa Foundation. So Kaloa, so I'm part Tongan. In Tongan, that means like gold or wealth or like a gift. And so the idea of the Kaloa Foundation, or the Wealth Foundation, if you translate it, same language, it's the whole principle of helping lower income communities get out of what I call the poverty cycle.
Yeah.
And learn business, financial, investing, real estate, entrepreneur principles that they can then use if they're wanting to start a business where they're at, or if they're wanting to get into real estate or whatever these things are, teaching them the benefits of it. And then the idea is that, especially on the business side, if they start something, they start it in their community, and then we want to help coach them through how to build it so that they can in turn hire from within the community. And I'm not saying it's the right way, but I feel if you do it that way, you have better chances of changing the community because it's coming from within. And like, even for me, like I lived in, when my parents moved to Utah, or my dad moved to Utah, we lived in West Valley, and I just went and showed some homes. So it's kind of funny. We talk about the luxury stuff, but I still show like $300,000 homes or whatever, because I genuinely want to help. And like the kid that I was with, teaching him, hey, if you buy this property and you do this, like within 2 years, you could be getting a fat tax return if you do things right. And then that could roll into the next property or this or that, right?
Which could be another episode we could do because you've done that. You've bought multiple properties and it's been great.
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. It's a great retirement plan, right? Yeah. So, but that's really the premise of how it all started. And then my board that I vetted out was just guys that in my network that I knew had made a good living. Some of them came from a rougher background, some didn't, but the whole idea was, hey, this will never make money, and any penny that goes into this will go back into the community. So as long as you're okay with putting your time and just knowing that you're not going to make money off of this, that's what's most important to me. And it's been great. So thank you again for your support with the gala.
It's awesome. And the gala, if you ever want to attend, this thing was so fun. I mean, the just the way that the traditions are that they have with the Tongans and Polynesians there, it was really cool. We got 3 minutes left. The last thing I just want to talk about is you're a master communicator. Your communication skills, I would say, is probably one of the top tier I've seen, whether it be negotiation, setting the tone for the experience. I felt the client experience, you know, when they get to me, it's like, I don't know, I feel like they're on autopilot at that point. So easy because you've helped them. But what's the last advice you'd give about just improving communication? We got like 2 minutes, but let's just...
I'll be quick. It kind of goes back to what you're saying about like the setting the boundaries, especially because it's mostly realtors that watch this, right? Or entrepreneurs.
Whatever, right?
It's anybody. Okay.
I don't know if anyone watches this really, but you know.
I watch it. Okay. The biggest thing I'd say with the communication is if you're afraid to set boundaries, it means they need to be set. Yeah. And I was terrified how you're saying like, oh, like I don't want to lose business. Was terrified in the beginning. Since I have been setting boundaries, I have made more money for my time, and I've built better and more authentic relationships, because it's not abnormal to say, it's my fucking birthday, I'm not going to answer my phone. Like if someone said that to me, like, hey, it's my birthday, we're going out for dinner. Yeah. Cool. Call me tomorrow.
Or it's 8:30, I'm putting my kids down.
Yes. Yeah. All that kind of stuff. Like, hey, I'm at my son's. I actually had it happen this Saturday. I couldn't go meet my clients, and I just told them, I was just like, hey, I'm at my son's hockey game. It's really important to me that I go.
Yeah.
If you really need me there, I can have someone else come in my place, but this is what I'm doing. And they were fine with it. And actually, we're probably going to write an offer today. So it's great.
I'd love that, man. Well, last thing, you got 30 seconds. How can we reach out? How can we get a hold of you if someone wants to buy real estate or, you know, store their luxury car?
Easiest way would just, I mean, honestly, my Instagram handle is just Keegan It Real, like keeping it real, but Keegan It Real. And if there anybody wants to reach out, they have questions, I'm happy to help. So if someone's got a business they're trying to start or whatever, reach out. Any advice I can give, it's all free.
There it is. Boom. Thanks, man. Appreciate having you on.
Thank you.